RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by Instagon Multi-Purpose Stain Remover. To tackle your toughest RV cleaning and stain removing problems, visit Instagon.com. And by Camp Casual, bringing reimagined, retro-styled items to camping and RV enthusiasts everywhere. Check out their complete line of products at CampCasual.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the most unpopular topic for RV enthusiasts. Winterization. Some of you down there in the Sun Belt might be doing the happy dance right now, but many of us are closing up the camper and shutting down the travel until next spring.
We want to make sure you do it right, so we are sharing our tips for safely storing the RV through the perils of winter weather. Plus, we invited our maintenance experts, Julie and Laszlo Sears of Quality Mobile RV in Mansfield, Texas. They're going to walk us through the process of winterizing the right way.
You might think you can squeeze in a few more camping trips before putting on the cover, but we know that time is ticking for many of our listeners in the U.S. and Canada. You are listening to episode 112, RV Winterization 101 with Quality Mobile RV.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, RV Winterization 101 with Quality Mobile RV, we have our RV FTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Instagon.
It is. And Instagon is a non-corrosive stain remover for mold, mildew, and water stains. And then they also make Quick 10, which is for carpet, upholstery, leather, and vinyl. And I will say that I saw the magic happen with Instagon as we were kind of getting the camper cleaned up before our trip just last week down to Myrtle Beach. I pulled out the Instagon. The camper had been sitting for like what? 6-8 weeks?
Not about six weeks.
Okay. Yeah. So it had that, like, to me, it gets musty.
A little
like,
funky, musty.
Yeah, I got to give it a nice clean before we use it if it sits for too long. So I took out that Instagon and I went to town on the sinks and the tub. And what did I do? I came and I got you, right?
I was like, I didn't think they were white. I thought they were yellow when we bought them.
So our camper is 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's almost
2012.
Set. Yeah. And it's been used a lot, as you all know. So I took this Instagon to it. I have not seen the sink look like this.
The sink is bright white.
It was like shining. And then also around the edge of the tub where the caulking, where that, like the caulking is, where you.
The caulk job,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. It was. It had like some stains on it that I could never get clean because it's so rough and not smooth. And I took the Instagon to that. Bright white. I was like, oh my gosh. I went and I got you and I made you look. And then you said, did you take before and after? I said, no, I didn't.
They are impressive products.
Yeah.
So the good news for our listeners is they have a BOGO going on over at their website at Instagon.com. So Stephanie, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this special value?
Yeah. If you buy one of the Instagon or the Quick 10, you get the second one for half off. Okay. So buy one, get one at half off. That's a good deal. And then in that order, you also get a coupon of $10 off your next order of Instagon.
And the stuff works. We swear.
So
if it doesn't, I'll send Stephanie over to your house to clean up. Okay.
No. I got enough mess here. All right. So now, what do we have to talk about in our news roundup?
Well, the seasonal camping episode was great. And I really, really enjoyed that episode. And apparently a lot of our listeners did too. So there's been some letters about that. But also Heather posted some additional information on our forum, some kind of additional points to consider. And they're really valuable. So we kind of want to just add them in here as a little bonus to last week's seasonal camping episode. And Stephanie's really upset that we're doing two 101 episodes in a row. Does not meet her content standards for mixing and matching. No. I, on the other hand, have no problem with it.
I know. I don't know why I get
so. Why don't you give us some of Heather's additional tips?
All right. So Heather, because of course, like I said, she is one of our most thorough guests on the show ever. She immediately posted in the forum some things that she felt that her and John had not been able to fit in. And I will link to this forum thread in the show notes so that if you want to go on and see Heather's additional tips, or if you want to ask her any questions or just give feedback about your seasonal experience, you can do that in that thread. So Heather wanted to say, look, here's some other points about your spot. If you like being a seasonal, will you be able to reserve your same spot next year?
So she said, find out. And I think that most places will let you reserve your same spot, but double check.
Yeah. Also, can you have visitors? And are they going to have to pay to visit? And are you limited to the number of cars and with your RV on your site? Very good question.
And so, again, it's just one of those things you want to find out before you book your seasonal for the year. If you want to have nieces and nephews and cousins and friends over every weekend and the campground's going to charge you $10 a head every time, that might be a deterrent from getting your seasonal spot. Or if you really don't care about that at all and you don't really plan on bringing anybody, it might not bother you. You might actually like it because it keeps people off the campground.
All right. Also, check the cell phone reception, campground Wi-Fi, and cable if that's going to be important to you. I would walk around with your cell phone and see, do I have 3G? Do I have LTE? What do I have at these different parts of the campground? And is that important to me? Isn't it going to bother me? Can I have my cable modem if, you know, I want to use that in my camper? Etc., etc. Also, will you have to pay extra for electric, water, or cable, any of your utilities? And lastly, are there any activities in the campgrounds that seasonals are not welcome to participate in? Now, I don't know. She said, like, for instance, morning breakfast. Maybe they're only for, you know, non-seasonal campers. No, I would never have thought of that. I don't know if that really is an issue. But if Heather brings it up, they might have come across
Knowing Heather, I'm sure that it's something they came across. Now, if they're making pancakes for the non-seasonals, and I'm a seasonal, and they say, no, you can't come have pancakes, I will not be a seasonal next year. Everyone knows.
And I'd be like, yes, we can't go
when
to the pancake
When you make pancakes at a campground and the smell is wafting through the air around the campground, you better be making them for everybody.
Okay, as a 10-year veteran of being an elementary school teacher, the worst thing in the world was pancake or French toast morning because the smell of syrup just lingered in the school building for the rest of the day. Ick, it ruined me for life.
I bathe in syrup, and so do the boys.
And maybe you should try another tactic, huh?
We got a nice email from Mike who had some interesting comments to say about seasonal camping, so maybe I'll read half of it and then let Stephanie read half of it. So Mike wrote and he said, I just finished listening to Seasonal Camping 101. Great podcast. Thanks, Mike. My wife and I were seasonal campers for 4 years, and the 2016 camping season, we gave up our seasonal site to go back on the road. We had a great camping season this year. A major drawback of being a seasonal camper, which was touched on in the podcast, is that your neighbors know everything that you are doing. We found that if you did not have the best and newest accessories, you were often looked down upon. We kept our site simple and did not add a deck or paver patio just to keep up with the neighbors. So that's definitely a great point to consider, right? I mean, I hope it's not that clubby everywhere, but some places might be.
Some places might have more of a clicky kind of environment. I think that that's going to vary, and it would be something that would definitely turn me off. I am not like that in real life. Like, the elementary school moms that, like, of our kids, it's like, they're clicky. I'm like, see ya. I love the moms that are just non-clicky.
And the question is, how are you going to find this out in advance? And a lot of people would say, well, you can't. You won't know till you're there. Mm-mm. I disagree.
Go
camp for 3 or 4 weekends at that campground, snoop around a little, ask the seasonals if the other seasonals are clicky, and I bet you'll get them talking.
Yeah, you can. You can talk to seasonals, and they'll, like, totally talk out of school to you about it. Now, also, look and see if all of the seasonals are all done up with the paver patios and the decks, because that's something that we understand, too. We would not want that in our seasonal, although a lot of people do like it. Like, it's not something that
we
would do.
But I would never be envious of someone that had it.
I wouldn't want to be expected to do that.
If somebody looked at my site and said, well, they don't have a fancy
Who
deck,
cares?
I would be like, your problem, dude.
I'm not in high school anymore.
So Mike went on to write, I laughed out loud about other seasonals asking about the electric bills. That happened every month. The other downfall is if you don't participate in every activity at the campground, you are labeled as antisocial. Sounds dumb. does sound like high school. Yeah. What's wrong with wanting to just relax after a long week? Mike, we say there's nothing wrong with that.
Wrong.
And John and Heather
nothing
would agree
wrong,
with
Mike.
You. We can speak for them. Don't get me wrong. Seasonal camping is awesome, but it does have its downfalls as well. And Mike, we really appreciate mm-hmm. that because we do like to have our balance. And we did even talk about doing a pros and cons of seasonal camping episode, but John and Heather were the star guests and they've had quite a positive experience with it. So we went more in the direction of just the 101 episode. So we appreciate you writing in and giving us the other side.
And I also want to say that I think Mike's experience might be, you know, very good to learn from it in terms of understanding that seasonal camping may be a season in your life. You know, there may be times when it makes sense for your family and you don't have to look at it as we're going to do this with our camper forever, right? This is going to be the way we camp. It might be sometimes you're doing certain things with work or your kids are in sports. And then you look forward to, in like he said, 4 or 5 years, taking a break from it.
I think it would be cool to do it every other year.
Right.
To say, I'm going to have a more quiet year of camping and a more easy year of camping with the seasonal side. And then the next year I'll go to Yellowstone. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it could fit in for a lot
of people.
It doesn't
have to be an all or nothing thing. You don't have to be a seasonal camper or a journey, you know, yeah. traveler. So.
Now, we also want to thank the folks over at RV Pro. And RV Pro is an online magazine and a print magazine that covers the RV industry. And we'll link to this article that they did in our show notes. They did an article about Tents for Troops that also talked about us and the RV FTA community and how we are trying to raise money for that RV for our active duty military so that they can go camping for free at a great campground. So they were excited to cover that we've raised over $4,000. We're almost halfway to our goal. So we want you to go check out that article, but we also really want you to donate. And we have special incentives at the $50 and $100 donation range. So Stephanie, can you review those quickly and tell everybody where to go to donate? Because we
sure.
need your donations.
If you donate $50, you get the RVFTA bumper magnet. If you donate $100, you get the RVFTA bumper magnet and a t-shirt. Now, what we've done is because I can't live in the mail order world because I'm really busy. So what I decided to do was at the end of October, I'm going to ship out all of the October pledges, right? Everybody that donated $50 or $100 at the end of October, it's all going out. Now, for the end of November, and then nobody's going to get anything until the end of November again, okay? So listen, if you want to get in that October shipment, you've got like a day or two from listening
also,
to this episode to
donate.
We've
raised over $4,000 to buy a $10,000 RV for our active duty military families to camp in for free at a campground that's going to donate a site.
Don't you want to be a part
I
of that?
I know our RVFTA community can
yeah.
come together and raise the last $5,000 and some dollars.
All right. Now, in addition to that, I haven't like called out the names of individual donors because we appreciate every amount from $15 to $1,000 that we've gotten. We really do appreciate people giving what they can afford to give. However, I do want to give one shout out, and because this donation was a little bit different. Lynn Butler donated $500 to this, and she made, and I knew her name because I met her at a girl camping event, and she was on Girl Camper because she is the owner of an RV dealership, Setzer's RV in West Virginia. She made no mention of her RV dealership when she made that donation. She didn't try to, you know, like say.
So if you're in West Virginia, go
yeah.
and show them some love and shop
Thank
with them.
You, Lynn Butler. We really appreciate that. That was a donation
yeah,
from
really,
a business.
We would mention
yeah.
every single name, but first of all, we don't know if you even want that.
Yeah.
So we do appreciate every donation. We've received donations from, I think, $5 to $1,000. Mm-hmm. A single donation at $1,000. We've received five. And let me reiterate, we appreciate every donation.
Every single one is
the
important.
Same.
Yep.
The same.
Yep.
So please give what you can.
All right. So we are going to wrap this news roundup up because we've got to move into the really important stuff, which is closing down and winterizing the RV. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, which we're going to break up into two segments. The first quick segment, Stephanie and I are going to talk about closing up the RV in general and some general principles and tips for the whole process of closing up the RV. And this is based on a blog post that we did for Progressive Insurance over at their Lifelanes blog. So we'll link to that and please check that out for more info. Then we'll come back for part two of the segment and we'll have Julie and Laszlo Sears from Quality Mobile RV. And they're going to specifically basically talk about the process of winterizing and getting all of the water out of the RV,
right.
Okay, all, taking care of all the plumbing. But first, we have a sponsored message from our really good friends over at Camp Casual, and I am just tickled to have them on the show as a sponsor.
I know, because speaking of cooler weather, which we are because of winterization.
Chilly in New Jersey. Stephanie has a scarf on right now in our podcasting studio.
Well, it's like not a real scarf. It's an infinity scarf, Jeremy. It's more, it's
what
cosmetic.
What on earth is an infinity scarf?
It's fashion. All right. So anyway, it is the perfect time of year for the brand new product that Camp Casual just introduced that I am to the moon about. It's the Camp Casual Throw, and it's a soft, warm, cozy blanket for those chilly nights that are coming up in our forecast. Whether you are around the campfire or you're relaxing in your RV, the Throw is a perfect addition for your indoor or outdoor adventures. It comes in a reusable plastic carrier for travel or storage, and it's available in 5 retro patterns. It fits perfectly with all the other Camp Casual products.
Now, that Camp Casual family of products also includes the oversized ceramic mugs, which I use every morning for my coffee, that come in 4 vintage retro patterns: Starry Night, Berry Green, Tangerine Trip, and Wanderlust White. Now, we have to add something in here. Our Camp Casual throw blanket showed up in the mail today. And when I walked in the door, you were so excited about this blanket. You were like, they nailed this blanket. It is adorable. It is cozy. It's right behind
it's
her
behind
chair
me. I brought
right
it
now.
Down.
She's carrying it around the house with her.
They knocked it out of the park. This is
my favorite
product
by them.
It is.
It's
it
my
is.
Favorite product
I,
by them.
Oh, you all know we've loved Camp Casual's products since the very first time we saw their dishes. This is a winner.
It is so silky, comfortable, and cozy,
yes.
And soft.
So on the one side, it has like the different patterns that they've, you know, that you've gotten used to from Camp Casual. And then on the back, it's like that velvet plush. So this blanket could not be more perfect for me. I picked the one that it goes along with the Tangerine Trip mug. It's like that seam. It has all of the little campers on it and everything.
I think I put a picture of that mug up on our Instagram,
yeah.
Didn't I?
And then on the back, it's like, it's like tangerine. I think it's a pumpkin color, but it's like an orangey
kind of
color.
We need to do an Instagram photo of the blanket, put it up on our Instagram account so everybody can see it.
Well, we are, because we're also going to announce the fact that now this week you can get 15% off the throw or the mugs. Okay.
Oh, you can do either.
Yes.
Okay.
At campcasual.com with code RVFTA2. Okay.
I have one more thing to say about the throw.
All right.
Stephanie was raving about it, and the first question I asked, because it was folded up, was, but is it big enough? Because so many of those cute, cozy throw blankets, to me as a big guy, are tiny. She's like, no, it's really big. And she opened it up, and it's a great size for me, too, as a 6-foot tall man.
50 by 60.
Great holiday gift for the RV lover in your family.
Love it. I can't. Well, we need to move on because I will just keep talking about this blanket and how much I love it. They knocked it out of the park. You'll see it on our Instagram.
I'm buying one for myself because I know I'm not getting that one.
He's like, I need one
too. Stephanie's walking around with it. It's wrapped around her infinity scarf.
All right. So you need this. So closing up your RV should include getting one of these cozy blankets. Absolutely should be on your list. But anyway, let's move on to what
else
we
need to do. Let's give some basic tips for closing up for the winter. And some of these are based on mistakes we've made in the past. So the first one is you want to empty everything out of your cabinets and your medicine cabinets. There was a winter where I left a bottle of soap in the medicine cabinet. It leaked out slowly over the course of the winter, and it ruined the entire cabinet. Now, being that this is Jeremy who did this, I got the cabinet replaced under warranty. You might not be able to figure out how to do that, but I did. So I would just recommend not doing it.
I hope nobody from Jayco's listening to this episode.
I hope they are. I hope they are, because that's a great warranty, people.
Yeah. All right. They did replace it. It's true. But here, I have talked to people that have said, oh, I leave my spices. I leave, you know, just different things in their camper over the winter because they don't go bad, or the things like in your medicine cabinet or whatever. We really highly recommend emptying out the cupboards. The biggest challenge for an RV in the winter is not just water damage. It is rodent and critter damage. That is like
clean it out so it's like brand new.
Just get, like, because scents, you don't know what scents they're attracted to. Those like bugs and everything.
I know what scents they're attracted to. They're attracted to the scents of the food that our kids spill on the floor and the Cheerios that are hiding right under the sofa.
Right, like in the corners and everything. So you really, the goal needs to be from the front of the camper to the back to not have one single food item, or I would say medicine cabinet item, also toiletry item. Get them out of the camper. Things freeze also. You have to think about that. Like, oh, if I leave shampoo, right, it's going to freeze. It's going to expand. It may, you know, come out and everything.
Break open the bottle.
Yeah. So just get everything out. Do not take any shortcuts on this.
Yeah. And vacuum till it hurts, partly to get all the food out. But also it's really nice to come into the RV in the springtime and have a really clean RV. But give the RV one last really thorough vacuum job from top to bottom.
Right. Once you've gotten everything out of the cupboards and the cabinets, underneath the your benches, right on your dinette, out of your cabinet, your wardrobe cabinet. Once you've done that, really take that vacuum and put on your attachments, get into all of the corners, especially if you have kids like we do. I'm going to be honest here. I found one of those, Wesley loves those tubes of yogurt. Okay. We take them with us camping. He wakes up a little rough.
He has about three of them a morning. I wake up every morning to a three-year-old staring me right in the face saying, Daddy, I want yogurt. That's my alarm clock.
He's hangry in the morning. Wesley is hangry.
I've never heard that before.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy, the entire world has heard of hangry. It's angry and hungry. It's hangry.
Oh, I get what it is. Okay. I just haven't heard it before.
Well, he's hangry in the morning.
Don't slow talk, baby.
So one of the ways we've dealt with the fact that it's so hard to get food in him fast enough in the morning is we get these yogurt tubes. I found one of his yogurt tubes, like underneath his mattress in the bunk. When I was like pulling off the sheets to do the laundry, like it kind of came flying out. Like that's gross. So you really do need to start to finish, you know, vacuum, move everything.
So the moral of the story is that if you have kids, there is probably food hiding under some crack or crevice or piece of furniture in the RV. So vacuum until it hurts. Maybe more importantly than vacuuming till it hurts is scrub the fridge. You need to clean that fridge out. Even if you think it's clean and you close that door for the winter, it could get real funky. And by the way, don't close the door for the winter, right? Scrub it out and leave the fridge doors open.
You're bringing up bad memories of a couple weeks ago.
Well, we've learned a lot of this stuff the hard way.
Okay, this is going to be a thing. Many of you might not know, there's a little latch on a lot of your refrigerators that you can kind of pull out and it'll keep your refrigerator from closing. We've gotten pretty good at that because we learned the hard way when we first.
The RV's not plugged in at any time of the year. Your refrigerator and freezer doors should be open.
Well, you closed them on me last month. I went into
do as I say, not as I do. Listeners.
I went into the RV a couple weeks ago to get ready for our trip to Myrtle Beach, and the refrigerator doors were closed. And I opened the refrigerator door, and the refrigerator and freezer were full of mold.
Thank God for Instagon.
Guess what I did? I took that Instagon and it was unbelievable. I'm not even kidding. I used it on the whole refrigerator. But that's another idea here is that if you are cleaning your refrigerator, use a product like Instagon because it's going to do that like chlor. It's going to really clean it, right? It's like that bleach, but not corrosive. So that's a great product to use for that.
All right, now, we also recommend covering your tires because Julian Laszlo Sears scolded us and said, cover your tires. I got to be honest. When we first got into RVing, I kind of laughed at people that covered their tires. I was like, how prissy? Why would you cover your tires? But the sun will degrade your tires. And your tires can look like they're in good shape because the tread is still good, but they could have actually been corroding.
And dry rot.
Dry
right?
rot. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you could have a blowout with a tire with good tread. So after we talked to Julian Laz the last time, I went out and bought tire covers. And I'm almost ashamed to say it, for the first winter, we are going to be covering all four of our RV tires. And I will from now on.
Right. And so we also have to realize that even though it's cold out, the sun's UV rays are still there, right? So the sun is still beating down on your tires, even though it's the winter. You still have to think that way.
And tire covers are not that expensive. And getting a blowout can be really expensive and incredibly inconvenient, and it can be dangerous. I mean, yeah. Your life can be at risk. So to me, tire covers are a no-brainer, and I think every RV owner should have them. Now, we also believe in covering the RV. On our and we haven't covered our RV. Let me get into that. On our forum, people have said, should I buy a cover or not buy a cover? And I think it's one of those things where a lot of people just don't want to spend that $300 or $400 or $500 or whatever. And it's also a pain in the neck to put a cover over a large RV like a travel trailer. Now, when I bought our Jayco Whitehawk, I asked the sales guy if I should buy a cover. And he said, you don't need to. They're so well made. You don't need to cover them. And also, if you do cover them, water can get sort of trapped inside and create problems that way as well. So I took that advice and I have not covered our Jayco for the last 5 years. Now, here's what happened. The front cap has faded pretty badly. The paint job on the front cap has faded badly. And that alone makes me wish that I had covered the RV. Other than that, everything's fine. There's nothing else that has really gone wrong where I like needed a cover. But I wish I had covered it. And in terms of worrying about water getting stuck underneath the cover or trapped underneath the cover, you just got to shake the cover out every now and then. Just go outside into your driveway and do that. Or if your RV is in storage, you should be visiting your RV once a month, maybe, to do that type of thing, or every 2 weeks, and your RV will be happy to see you.
Well, I've also heard that the good covers, right, the well-made covers, the ones that are highly recommended in the industry, they're made so that you don't have to worry about that whole moisture getting trapped under, like with the material and everything. Now, there is a forum thread on our forum where people were recommending covers that they liked and that have worked well for them. I will link to that thread.
I think it's worth getting a cover for protecting everything, but just know your paint will fade if you don't cover your RV every winter. It happened to us, and I'm not going to make that mistake again on the toy hauler. All right, now we want to talk about protecting the RV plumbing system. Now, when Stephanie and I do a one-on-one episode, we like to talk to people who know more than we do. We like to talk to the experts. So we're really excited to have Julie and Laszlo Sears from Quality Mobile RV come on to the show for the next segment and walk us through getting all the water out of the RV.
Yeah, they're going to take us step by step. And then they're also going to point out that a lot of the stuff they're talking about, because you're listening to it, you may want to watch. Julie and Laszlo have their RV tube, and they have these videos that are going to show you everything that they do. And I think, you know, YouTube can be pretty overwhelming. You could type in, winterizing the RV, and you can get how many hits? I don't even want to think about how many hits might come up. But the point is that we've vetted Julie and Laszlo for you. These guys are running a solid RV maintenance and repair business out there in Texas.
They're smart and they're nice. And yeah, if you live anywhere near them, you want them working on your RV.
Yeah. So we feel like we've kind of found a really like good source for you to go to. And they have these videos on their RV tube. I'll link to them in the show notes so that you can go and you can see Laszlo doing the little lessons and the tutorials that they're talking about on the show. I'm really glad that we ended up getting to meet them because they're just going to be so helpful for our audience. All right. So stay tuned. We've got Julie and Laszlo Sears from Quality Mobile RV coming up.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers In RV was founded on the belief that every customer deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. That's why they offer the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. All of their advertised prices include freight, prep, orientation, and detailing, so customers will never be surprised by last-minute upcharges and fees.
Campers In RV believes strongly in transparency, and they strive to make customers feel confident that they found the perfect RV for their budget and their dreams.
Since 1966, Campers In RV has become the nation's largest family-owned dealership with 15 locations across the East Coast. Come down and learn why Campers In RV has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Julie and Laszlo Sears from Quality Mobile RV Repair in Mansfield, Texas. This is their second time on the podcast, so that makes them friends of the show. And we're super excited to be talking about winterizing. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Progressive Insurance wants you to know that you can keep all of your stuff protected with Personal Effects. With this optional coverage, they'll pay to replace damaged, lost, or stolen personal items in and around your RV. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
Now, Julie and Laszlo were on episode 95, if you want to look back and find that episode. And it was called RV Mobile Repair and Maintenance. And Stephanie, it was a popular episode.
It was a very popular episode. And in fact, when we asked people to name their favorite episodes for that Jellystone and Camp Casual giveaway a couple weeks back, that one showed up quite a few times in the list. So
Julie and Laszlo,
we had to have you back.
The pressure's on. And welcome to the show.
All right.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing awesome. How are you doing, Julie?
I'm doing great. We're excited to be back and just ready to have some fun and educate some people.
Yes.
But before you get down to business and brass tacks, we need to say a couple of very important things. First of all, happy anniversary, lovebirds.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
19 years.
That's right.
19 years of marriage, and you're sitting here recording a podcast for all of our RV listeners.
It's something of a miracle, isn't it?
We love it. It's so such dedication.
It is, and that's what people need to take notes. You know, people that work and have their priorities together, stay together. That's where it's at.
You're a partnership. And now also, number two, we want to say congratulations. Last time you were on our show, you were in Midlothian, Texas, and now we just mentioned that you're in Mansfield, Texas. You just did a big move and a big upgrade with your business, right?
We absolutely did. You guys single-handedly launched us into the atmosphere. So
love it.
Nothing to do with all the blood, sweat, and tears and hard work, right?
Nothing.
Exactly.
These calluses on the hands, just a side note. Yeah. So, but yeah, we actually moved into Mansfield. We moved from a tiny little shoebox, 1,300 square foot, one bay shop, into this gorgeous, lots of room, six bay, 5,200 square feet, an acre of parking, state-of-the-art facility, and we just couldn't be more excited to share that with our friends and family in the RV world.
Yeah, super excited. It's going to definitely help out with all of our customers on timing on getting repairs done quickly.
Well, I'm not surprised that you're growing. Every interaction that we've had with the both of you, it just seems like you're really running a tight ship and really helping people to both maintain and repair your RV. So the last time you were giving us all of the things that people just need to do on a regular basis to make sure that they keep their RV in ship shape. This time we asked you to come on and do a basic winterization lesson for our listeners. We have two types of listeners that might be interested in this. First of all, we have some that have never done it before. They bought an RV this last spring, this summer, or they just bought an RV and they're going to have to winterize it maybe. Or they're, you know, they've been paying someone else to do it and maybe they're interested in trying to do it themselves. Do you do a lot of winterization with your business?
Typically, that is our number one in the wintertime. We are always geared and ready and buy tons of antifreeze. So I would say from the winter months, it's definitely one of our biggest things that we do. Definitely.
Absolutely.
But you think that it is a reasonable thing for an RV owner to do themselves if they feel up to the task?
Absolutely. This is something that anybody can do. Of course, if you need help, all you have to do is contact your local RV repair shop, Google, YouTube. We even have some winterizing and de-winterizing videos on our free app, RVTube. But it is very reasonable, and it's something that they're definitely going to want to do, especially if they're in the upper region of the nation where it gets cold and you've got a lot of snow, a lot of, freezing and below freezing temperatures. They're going to want to maintain their coach in this way.
All right, so let's get down to the basics. There are two different types of two different types of RVs. We all know there's motorhomes and there's trailers, and you're going to treat them differently when you're winterizing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Motorhomes typically take about an hour or so to winterize, and the trailers and the bumper pulls typically take anywhere from about 30 or 45 minutes to winterize.
Yes. Basically, there's a lot more bells and whistles on a motorhome and a lot more higher-end appliances that you want to pay attention to. So that's why if you're doing a motorhome, It's going to take a little bit longer. The education is key. Trailers and bumper pulls typically take me about 30 minutes. So I would say a new time owner never doing it would be anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes once he figures out what to do.
All right. So education is important, right? Because I see you stressing that because every rig is different and you want to know your rig really well. But can you just walk us through some of the basic steps and the basic things that every RVer needs to think about no matter what rig you have?
Sure. Well, number one, you've got to know about where your plumbing placements and fixtures are. Every coach is different. You know, you've got different floor plans, floor models. So typically when customers are calling me on the phone, I'll ask them, you know, well, do you know where this is? And they'll say no. So it's just kind of hard to do that over the phone. So if they bring it in, I kind of give them a little class. But the best thing to do is to just, you know, contact your local RV repair shop for help. They can give you some information.
And that's basically just asking the questions like, where's all my plumbing? Where are all the fixtures and drains on my coach? Is there something that I'm missing? Really educate yourself and really get intimate with your RV because you're using that space as a home. And if you treat it well, it's going to treat you well. So that is key. You can find that information on the manufacturer's website. You can Google it. You can YouTube it. Anywhere online you can get it. But definitely if you have questions and you just need somebody to walk you through it, find your local RV repair shop to help you out with that.
Okay, excellent. So what else do we need to know as we head into the winter season? What else do we need to know to get our rigs winterized?
Absolutely. Well, we've got a couple of different things. The people that are full-time living in their RV, they're full-time RVers, there's a difference between that, winterizing for that, and winterizing for storing your RV. When you're just, you know, taking it on trips and then putting it away. And here's a couple things that you're going to need to know.
Needing to know for your full-time RVer, keep your plumbing tanks above freezing. If your coach has tank heaters, of course, that's the time that you're going to use them. What that is basically a heating pad that's going to keep all the liquids in your tanks above freezing while you're in it. When you're not in the coach, you always leave the furnace on. You know, you can put it on the lowest setting, which is usually 50 or 55 degrees. Mm-hmm. That, of course, is going to keep the entire coach above freezing. This works if you don't have tank heaters.
Yeah, I was about to say, for newbies, that's going to be one of the first questions that they ask. Hey, how do I know if I have tank heaters? That's part of getting to know your coach and educating. And if you don't know, ask. But that's what you can do if you're not sure or you don't have them, is definitely leave that furnace on 50 degrees or above.
Yes.
Now, tank heaters, is that something that you can do? And this is, you're right about like a newbie question. That something that you can add on afterwards? Can you do an aftermarket add-on for a tank heater? Or no, that's just, it either comes with the type of tank you have or it doesn't.
Actually, a tank heater is an add-on and it's not very expensive or hard to put on even for a first-time RVer because it's basically like a heating pad. It works with a 12-volt system, so you've just got an on and off switch, positive, negative, and it actually just automatically sticks to the tank, kind of like a duct tape. It's got some sealant on it. So you're going to put that on the tank and then just install the switch. So if you know how to put in a radio in a car, you can install a tank heater, no problem. And there's plenty of literature out there, and we could possibly do a video for you guys if the callers out there want some information on that.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool. And, you know, do you have certain, in general, as a repairman, do you have certain brands of a lot of these products that you tend to recommend over others, or do you kind of stay neutral on those things?
I stay neutral. I am I'm a social media person just like everybody these days. I always look for reviews. I always look to see what's working. Honestly, when I'm out there suggesting things for any customer, I'm actually reading all the reviews and going by what fellow RVers have found the flaws in. And I actually spread that knowledge to customers and go, hey, I wouldn't recommend this because several people have been having problems with that. And that's just digging in, trying to get some research.
For again, me. That education is key.
Well, thank you. I just learned something new about tank heaters.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a pretty cool option if you want to use the rig year-round.
Yeah, forums are awesome because I work on them. I have one, been using it, but people that are using them every day of their life, they know more about these products than I do. I'm just repairing them, but they've actually got using it every day versus me installing it. So I hear that down the line, and I pass that knowledge along.
All right, now let's say we are storing it for the winter, like many of the people in New Jersey where we are will be in the next month or so. What do we need to know about storing it for the winter, really truly putting it away till spring?
Well, this is definitely something that everybody's going to, you know, take a pause, grab a piece of paper and a pen, and write these things down. Lyle's is going to kind of go point by point on the things that you're going to want to know, things that you're going to want to look for before you put it in storage.
Okay. The most important thing that I always ask a customer, especially with a newbie, first-timer, first RV, find out where your water heater bypass is. I will ask people that and try to help them out over the phone, and they don't have a clue. I try to explain it to them, but get online, use the YouTube, use Google, use our RV2. Once you know how to bypass your hot water heater, basically your hot water heater is 6 to 10 gallons of just fresh water sitting there, and you want to get rid of that. That's the first appliance that I always go to is I will bypass it, which is one of the valves in the back. There's three there. If you want any more information, basically it's cutting the cold water off so that the RV no longer gets any cold water going into the water heater to fill it up. The second thing I always do is drain the hot water heater. Every hot water heater has a drain on the outside. You want to pull that out, and either has an anode rod or it's just a plug, but I always leave the plug or the anode rod in the actual door so you don't lose it.
So it's sitting right. So it's sitting right there for you when spring rolls around.
Exactly. And in the spring, when you hook the water hose up and you see water coming out the side, that's when you go, "Oh, I forgot to put the plug in." And it's
I've never done that. I've never done that, Laszlo. I've never had water dripping all over my driveway. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. the second thing that I always do is the low point drains. Usually, especially on the bumper pools or the motorhomes, the manufacturers always put a sticker showing you where the low point drains are. What those are is all of the plumbing on the inside. It is the lowest point, from gravity to drain them out. And basically, they're plugs or valves that you would open. And the reason that you do that is, if you're draining your freshwater tank or draining the hot water heater, this actually gets all the rest of the water out of the inside of the coach and lets it go down and out so you don't have any water in the line.
And do you just want to leave that open all winter, or do you just want to leave it open for an extended period of time and then shut it?
Actually, I leave them open all winter. If you have problems with mud daubers or anything like that, you could probably just duct tape a piece of screen on it.
Wait.
Kind of screen,
problems with what?
Laszlo, wait, back up. Mud daubers?
Yeah. Mud daubers are very common here in Texas. Uh-huh. They are a wasp that likes to build mud nests everywhere in an RV and it just ends up costing money. They'll end up clogging pipes or furnaces and stuff like that.
So have y'all noticed the mesh screens on the outside, like by the furnaces and all of that, and you're wondering, why did they rubber band that on there?
Okay, for the mud daubers.
A good portion of that is because of these. Yeah. For the mud daubers, they're indigenous creatures that want to make their mud huts right in the warmest places of your RV.
Nightmare, basically.
So in Texas, mud daubers, they're RVers, basically.
Yeah, they want to get in your RV.
Yeah.
Go travel.
They want to get everywhere,
It is a constant battle down here, for sure.
You can leave them wide open.
Okay, leave them wide open. Everybody's probably got critters of some sort, right?
Right, so you leave it open, but you can put screening over it if you want to protect it. Okay.
If you wanted to, yeah. A lot of people don't realize, too, every spring, I swear I'm going to get at least 20 calls this spring, the ice maker line has broken because a lot of people will winterize and they forget that they have an ice maker. And usually on the Dometic and the Norcold refrigerators, it's a blue little valve. So when you take the refrigerator door off on the outside and you're looking at it, if you would physically just take the quarter inch line off, and I usually just drain it and I leave that wide open, because what that's going to do is break that valve. And that valve costs about $67. And if you were to just basically loosen the water line off and let the water drain out, you're going to save yourself $67 just by taking care of your ice maker line.
And so it's all about knowing your rig. I mean, you just got to know each little part that needs to get winterized.
So, and education is key. I'm going to say it over and over again, because if you know your coach, then you're going to be able to winterize this thing well and not have any problems.
All right. Talk about blowing out the lines.
Okay. Basically, what I do, some customers don't do this, but I do it because they have a part that you can buy from, I think it's a Valterra part. You basically blow out the lines with air, compressed air. And the reason that I do that is because I catch any water in the entire system. And the way that I do that is I go inside and I open up the sink, the shower, anything that has a faucet, I open that wide open. And then I go to the city water connection and they make a little adapter that you just basically put a small little blower like you put on an air chuck, you know, on the end of the air hose. And I basically blow it out for about 30 to 60 seconds.
Now, if you're not,
what that does is get the residual water out.
Now, if you don't have one of those or you're not able to do that, you should have a professional come and winterize your RV, right? I mean, that's not an optional step, is it?
Yeah, I mean, if you are up north, I would say make sure you get a professional to do it. If you're down here in Texas, we have bad winters and then some decent winters, but definitely, you know, where you guys are in the New Jersey area, I would always blow up the lines because it could save some cash down the line.
Okay, great. So
absolutely.
What else do we need to know?
Anybody
guys?
Who has anybody who has an AquaHot system, this is definitely a pen and paper time because AquaHot, as everybody knows, is an upgrade, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, we've gone to class. We're actually a certified dealer for AquaHot. AquaHot is a very well known water heater furnace system, and if you do not winterize this thing, it will cost you at least $10,000.
$10,000.
So if the tank busts or cracks on the inside and it's the newer AquaHot system, they are non-repairable. You have to buy a new one and they start at $10,000.
We're talking motorhomes for the most part that have these or some luxury fifth wheels as well?
I've only seen them in motorhomes. If there are some fifth wheels out there, it'd probably be a custom install.
Right.
So, but these are mainly all the motorhomes that are out there now. Very good, dependable system, but you have to know how to winterize them. AquaHot has some stuff on their website, some videos. The best thing that I can tell you is if you do have an AquaHot, I would prefer you call a professional and not do it yourself, only because it costs $10,000 if you do it incorrectly. So that's how I kind of wanted to leave that.
Oh, no, and that's, you know what, Laza, we really appreciate you saying that to our listeners because, you know, it's something that while we want to support, you know, everybody in learning about their RVs and doing what is right in the maintenance department, we also always want to give a nod to the value of professionals and people who know what they're talking about. It's the same thing with our cars, with our houses. You know, there's some things that you might tackle by yourself, but there's other things that just are too valuable and you need to deal with the pros.
Well, and do that cost risk analysis, right? I mean, in New Jersey, we pay about $100 to have a travel trailer winterized. I imagine a motorhome is going to cost more than that. But compared to the damage you can do if you don't do it right, it starts to seem like a bargain to have a professional do the winterizing.
It does because he's seeing day in and day out what's going on and how to do it properly, because even I will call AquaHot and ask questions if I ever see anything, you know, that concerns me. But for the most part, it's a day-to-day thing for us and we can get it done and done right.
What do I need to do with my P-traps? And you might want to start by explaining what the P-trap is, Laszlo.
Yeah.
Sure. What a P-trap is every drain has the U-curve that's underneath it. We always, when we're done doing the winterization at the very end, I just fill a little bit of the antifreeze into the P-trap so that they don't freeze up.
So
pretty simple thing.
A little bit being, you know, how much?
Honestly, I'd say about 8 ounces, just about a coffee cup.
You can visualize what it takes to fill that up, basically. And a P-trap is supposed to keep the bad smells out of coming into the rig. Am I correct about that?
Yep, it keeps the tank odors from coming into the rig. And then now that you've evacuated most of the water, you want to fill that up with some antifreeze to not only block the odor, but to protect the drain pipes.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm assuming that we're doing some other things with antifreeze too, right?
A lot of people forget to do the toilet. Whenever I'm doing the winterization and flushing, I will flush the toilet at least 5 or 6 times until I get a good amount of pink antifreeze coming in. And I also leave some in the oil because it lubricates the seal so that whenever you come back in the spring, the actual seal in the toilet doesn't dry rot out. So it didn't sit there and it gets stuck to the actual flush device.
Absolutely. It's the same thing with your washing machine too. I know people don't necessarily think, oh, I need to winterize my washing machine, but that's definitely something that you're going to want to do.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever I do winterization on a washing machine, I will turn it on to get the actual antifreeze coming in pink. And as soon as I see that coming in, I know that the intake is full of antifreeze. But here's the key that I've learned from a guy a long time ago is he said, don't forget to also do the drain side. So I will open the washing machine, put about a half a gallon of antifreeze in there, and I'll turn on the drain cycle. And as soon as it starts draining out, I'll stop it in the middle of that. And now the washing machine is protected on the incoming and the drain.
So it's protected on both sides.
Both sides.
Right. That's awesome. And then we know that we have a ton of people that have those awesome, convenient outdoor showers. I wouldn't have ever thought to winterize an outdoor shower, but it is. It's part of the package.
Yeah, the outdoor shower is actually the most common thing that you see broken because it sees the elements and it's closest to the cold with no protection of furnace or heat. And a lot of times what will typically happen is the hose will crack. It's fairly inexpensive, but if you were to actually winterize by, you know, turning on and filling the outdoor shower full of the pink antifreeze, you wouldn't have to buy that hose every year or so. So it'll save you some cash in the long run.
Now I'm picturing our outdoor shower. How do I get antifreeze into that outdoor shower? Like I'm not getting where I would put it.
Okay. Basically, if you were to go to any Camping World or online, you can buy about an $8 to $12 antifreeze winterizing kit. And what you would do is you would connect that to your water pump system. Basically, where the water comes into the pump, you would hook this hose up. And there's several videos on that you can see on YouTube or RVTube. And you are putting the end of the hose into the gallon of antifreeze. So now when you turn your water pump on, it's not sucking the fresh water and putting it in the coach.
It's coming right out of that antifreeze bottle.
It's taking the antifreeze and pumping it in there for you. So you actually don't have to do any physical labor other than holding the gallon up there and watching the water pump do the work for you.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, right. We like the idea.
Nice and easy. Nice.
All right.
There are a ton of videos on that.
And the biggest ice block that you don't want to have happen to your RV is to drain that fresh water tank. I know it's nice to have it when it's there, but it is a pain and costly if you forget about draining it.
Yes. Some of these tanks can go anywhere from $300 to $500, but the most expensive part is actually getting it in there. One of these tank jobs that I've done in the past was about a $1,200 job. Same thing. The customer did not drain his tank and he had a huge crack to where it wasn't even repairable. So unfortunately it was about a $1,200 repair just due to him not draining that fresh water tank.
One of my favorite things about having you guys on, one of my favorite things about when you guys are on, we get price points on everything. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you're actually putting dollar signs on everything in the RV.
So you can put a price on stupid.
Yeah.
You can. It's not fun. It's not, but when you know how much things cost and you care about what you do, it's the customer that needs to win in the end, not just the repair shop. Because I would rather show up and tell somebody how to do something so that they're saving money. And it's just the knowledge that you have to have.
Yeah, and there it is. There it is again. Education is key. And talking about education, you guys, please, if you don't do anything, get to know your coach. Educate yourself on where your stuff is. If you need any help, you can always check out How to Winterize and then also de-winterize. We've been talking a lot about the winterizing side. You always want to make sure you properly de-winterize when it comes time to pull that rig back out. And you can find any of those videos on RVTube that's available for free on any Apple and Android device.
Yeah, and Julie, just like I did in the show notes for the last episode, I'm going to put the link to your RVTube, which just for our listeners is an app that you all actually created, and it has your own original videos, right? You showing people how to do things.
Yes, they are DIY videos. Anybody that's stuck out in Wyoming and there's not an RV shop around, they can't get anybody mobile to come to them, we can help with the small things. Again, of course, if it's something like the Aqua Hot, you're going to want that professional. But we do have those small DIY how-to videos that Laszlo does himself and walks you step-by-step through the process. We also have a few videos that are just some quick tips. So if they're wondering about something or, hey, what should my tread look like, they can check out RBTube in the how-to section and see any of those videos for free.
Hey, tell us where your store is again, just so everybody knows. We do have a lot of listeners in Texas. So where is the location of the shop?
It's in Mansfield, Texas, which is just a little bit south of DFW, Metroplex. It really, if you're in the Metroplex, you can get to anywhere within 30 minutes. So we're a little bit less than that, but it's in Mansfield, Texas. Again, we are in this beautiful shop that is 6-bay, 5,200 square foot state-of-the-art facility, and we'd love to see it.
And
if you're coming through.
That's great. And we highly recommend that people do that are in Texas or in your area. Texas is a big place from what
I know.
Hear.
We even got a comment from one of our listeners last time that said, I'm right near them. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there are some people right in that area. And then other people said, it's not fair. I'm not near them.
Yeah.
Who do I get to go to?
But well, you download the app. Now, where else can we find you on social media? Are you guys on Facebook, Instagram? Where else can our listeners find you?
Yes, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can check out our webpage at www.qualitymobilerv.net. And, of course, always download the app. RVTube, just like YouTube, but RVTube, T-U-B-E, on any Apple or Android device for free.
Well, Julie and Laszlo, first things first, thank you so much for once again coming on and really helping to emphasize that education angle. That's what we're all about here. And we just love that we came across you on our journey and found out, you know, people out there that are just as passionate about educating RVers to use their rigs more safely. And
well, and you guys give me great hope, because I think, you know, we've been into RVing for 7 years. And just there needs to be a better culture for RV repair and mobile RV repair. And just I think all the consumers, we need more options, and we need more options closer to the home. So I hope you guys continue to grow. And I just hope that everybody has somebody like you in their neighborhood at some point soon.
Yes, that's what we set out to do. We're here to change that, because that's what needs to change in the RV service industry. Take care of your customers and they'll come back to you, because then it's a relationship, not just somebody writing you a check. And when they learn, you guys learn together.
Because it's a lifestyle. It's not just somebody taking their ATV out for the weekend. This is a journey. And we just appreciate you guys so much for allowing us to be a small part of your journey.
Yes.
And congratulations on your own personal journey of 19 years of marriage. Yeah. That's really
Stephanie,
a great accomplishment.
Maybe you and I can get there, too.
Wait, I know. What are we at? 16. We're at 16.
16.
I love it. You're trailing us. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you guys back again.
All right. Now go celebrate. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you so much for listening to episode 112 of RVFTA, RV Winterization 101 with Quality Mobile RV. Hey, by the way, have you dropped us an iTunes review? We haven't asked in a long time, so if you haven't, please do. It really helps us. Another big thank you to our sponsors, to Campers Inn, to Instagon Multipurpose Stain Remover, and to Camp Casual.
And also to Progressive Insurance. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
Now, I told Stephanie I was going to put her on the spot at the end of the show and ask her a question that she hasn't thought about in advance. Last winter, we did an episode on dealing with the winterization blues. I loved that episode. It was one of my favorite episodes. I would like to do it again with all fresh new tips for dealing with the winterization blues. Stephanie, what do you think? Do you think we could do a part two of that and not give the same tips from last year, but come up with a whole new set of tips for dealing with the winterization blues?
We can, because I already have some.
So do I.
But I don't know if we can do. You think we can do a whole segment?
I think we can do a whole new show with all fresh new tips about dealing with the winterization blues. And then here's the really important question. When do you think the winterization blues really kick in for most people? Because we're not shutting down the RV yet. We're still camping.
Right. Yeah. No, I think people get through the holidays. It's not everybody's. We're all busy with the holidays and stuff coming up. So it's not a big deal. It's only after. after that, really, I think it's more like January, February. The winterization
January 15th,
hit us in February.
February 1st. We know those winterization blues mm-hmm. hit you hard, podcast listeners. So listening to our podcast is going to help get you through the winter. That's
number one tip, RVFDA Podcast Network.
But I think we will do a second episode of dealing with the winterization blues. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you in the future for that episode.
All right, and we'll see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.